Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. Good morning. Yeah, good morning. I know I've been later as of late, but we got a chance to get a good start this morning. And should have your show up before noon. That's the plan anyway. But I hope you're doing well wherever you are today. I hope it's a payday for you. If you're a weekly or bi-weekly wage earner, maybe today is the day that you've been looking forward to. Get out and go have some fun with the family. You need to go ahead and start thinking about that honey-do list, because in 50 days we're going to be playing college football. And you know as well as I do, once college football season starts, you're not going to be motivated to get all these things done you need to get done. I got a bunch of stuff I got to do around here too. It's true. So I encourage you, let's get something productive done this weekend. I mean, some of you are going to the beach, and some of you are maybe going out on the res in the boat or in Gulf of America. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're going to get out and have a little fun. But let's get some productive things done. There's not much that helps me more, as I can get this chair situated. Then it makes something productive of my day. I had somebody just yesterday and says, Steve, you work too much. Well, number one, I enjoy what we do. I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, we get to cover college sports for a living. What do I got to complain about, right? And so, yeah, we produce a lot of content, and we work really hard. But when you feel like you've got a job that you enjoy, it doesn't feel like working. You know what I mean? Like, I wake up every single day, and it's joy to know that, hey, I get to write about Mississippi State for a living. You know, I get to interview these players. They're going to be Bulldogs. We're all going to be cheering on in the years ahead, many times providing you with their first public comments about why they picked Mississippi State. That's a lot of fun for me. I take a lot of pride in all that. And for me, you know, the thing that drives me, maybe you're different. You know, we're not similarly situated, right? Maybe you're doing better than me. Maybe you're not. But the reality of it is, the goal for me every single day, every breath that passes through my lungs, is to be the genuine article. That's so important to me. Because there have been times in my life I faked it, and maybe you have too. You know, the days of social media, we see a lot of that. And the thing that I'm a firm believer in is that comparison truly is the thief of joy. You start thinking about what other people have or what you think they have, and all of a sudden you start feeling bad about your life. You know, the path is the path. Now, you can change the path. You can pick up the pace a little bit. You can get a little more education. You can get a greater understanding of yourself, maybe what's expected of you. But I do not waste one moment of my day thinking about what other people have that I wish that I did. I don't. There was a time in my life that I did, you know, maybe in my 20s, maybe. I remember, guys, it was one of those things, and you gather around, kids. It's time for story time with Uncle Steve. But I used to think, man, if I ever had a BMW, man, I would feel like I made it. I would feel like I made it if I had a BMW. You know what? I had two of them. And really, what I really had was some very expensive repair bills. They didn't get me there any quicker. I may have got there in a little more style. I can tell you that that BMW convertible that we had that I had restored and painted candy apple red that my wife took from me, that was a cool car. Really was. But it wasn't very practical. You know, all of a sudden, we have grandchildren, and I'm thinking, you know, the air and the heat in this vehicle with this ragtop is not very conducive to comfort as you travel. So it was a cool car when she was working at the hospital. You know, just we live out here in the sticks. She can ride the town in it. You know, I can't count how many times we'd stop at a gas station, somebody tried to buy the car. You know, I mean, it was such a nice car. It really was. But at the end of the day, I was like, you know, I don't know that I can have her driving 6.5 hours to go see the grandbaby in this car. It wouldn't be a very comfortable ride. And my wife is very cold-natured, too. Most women are, right? It's just kind of how it works. But, you know, she used to get this, like, plug-in seat warmer thing, and there was all this kind of stuff, and she ended up getting like a heated throw that she could plug into her car. And I thought, this is just, you know, this is just not a very good investment for the sake of vanity. You know, as much as we love the car, you know, and even after I bought her a new car, we kept that car for a while. I ended up selling that car to a guy, and he was absolutely thrilled to have it. But at the end of the day, you know, I guess I'm glad that I had a couple of BMWs, but, you know, it didn't change really much about my life other than I'd have to go to Mike's and, you know, write a check for four figures because it was so expensive to get parts and things of that nature. And so I say these things because it's important to understand once you've had that stuff, you begin to realize how much that stuff really doesn't matter. You know, and I love my car. I do. I love my car. And I'll be honest with you. When I bought Ruby in Lexington, South Carolina, I'd gone to speak at an AA convention deal in Columbia. And along the way, a rear end repair failed. And it was going to be very expensive to get the car back. And I just thought, you know what? This has become a money trap. I'd bought this great Mustang. And it was so tough. I loved it. And I had just put on some $2,000 rims that I ended up donating to the car dealership because they wouldn't fit on Ruby. It's tough, man. It is. But, you know, when I got Ruby, little did I know that my wife was going to be travel nursing out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And to this day, I don't understand why I ever agreed to that. But I was so nice. It was so good to have the amenities of the modern car. Because I don't know if my 05 Mustang that I restored, the first new year of the new body style, and she was so tough. But I don't know that I could consistently have made those trips to New Mexico and that car had been reliable as I needed it to be. So Ruby and I go all over the country covering Mississippi State sports, and I'm glad to have her. I am. I'm thrilled to have her. But when I got her, it's the only time in my life that I bought a new car that I wasn't excited. Does that make sense? Because I loved my other car a little bit more. I thought it was tougher. Now, Ruby's faster. Ruby's got a lot more power. Ruby's got a Coyote. Yeah. Yep, true. I'm not even going to be humble. It's great. I love her. But it doesn't impact who I am. It just kind of impacts how I travel. And so I think it's so important to be the genuine article. You know, to do what you say you're going to do. You know, and to have a job like the one that we have, that we're so fortunate to have, and to just kind of half do it would not be fair to you. And wouldn't be fair to Mississippi State or our student athletes, our coaches. But in addition to that, too, to all the people that would want this opportunity, you know, those are the things that drive me. Because I remember being that guy that just needed a break. I just needed somebody to believe in me. Like, I had the dream. I just didn't have maybe the wherewithal to get there. I needed somebody to help me. And that was Gene Swindoll. You know, today. And I still contend Gene hired me to keep me out of the marketplace as a competitor. And he kind of jokes about that. I'll bring that up occasionally. And he's like, yeah, probably did. But the reality of it is that there are a lot of people out there that would love to have the opportunity to cover Mississippi State full-time for a living. There are a lot of people. And at some point, my time's going to end. You know, there will be another era. And my goal is to maybe retool the way we think about athletic coverage at Mississippi State. I think it's important that we're there. It makes a big difference to me, you know. You go to these ball games, you get a chance to ask the coaches and players a question after the game. You know, I remember COVID made a lot of people lazy. And I don't just mean in the journalism field, but a lot of people. You know, we got used to working from home, looking for the easier, softer way. And there were times that we would have, like, post-game on Zoom. And then the powers that be at Mississippi State were like, hey, we're not going to share the Zoom link with people that didn't make the trip. And I think that was a big thing. I mean, I think you have to commend the people that make the effort to be there. And people got mad about it. They did. And the answer was, well, then travel to the games. But it's not just about journalism, right? There's just so much of that in life that people want to put a half-measured effort forward and then get the full benefits of the position. And you can see that in all walks of life. And so that's one of the things that recovery has taught me. Recovery is the only thing in life that I haven't been able to BS, right? The only thing. Because you get out of it what you put into it. You know, and there's a lot of things too, especially when it's work related activities and things of that nature. You just need to be better than the next guy, right? Maybe not be your best, but just be better than your competition. And sometimes that's easy and sometimes it's more difficult depending on what field you work in. But when I got into recovery, you know, I thought that if I memorized the 12 steps, they'd let me leave rehab. I was like, well, I'll just show them how smart I am. You know, it didn't work. It's the only thing in life I haven't been able to outsmart. I've had to actually do the work. And it's made me a better person. It's made me a better employee. And I think probably a better facilitator and a leader. Because there is some authenticity in what we do and say. And so if you're one of those kinds of people that maybe you can't admit it to another person, but you know it in your heart, that maybe you're not giving your full effort. Maybe you hadn't completely sold out. I think it's so important. Whether it be in life, love, or work, whatever, to be completely committed. A lot of people talk about commitment like it's a punchline to a joke. But the reality of it is you're never going to get anywhere in life, truly in life, if you don't fully commit yourself. And people recognize that. If the people that are watching you, and there are always people watching, you know, always watching you, they know when you're cutting it. Corners. They do. They see it. And if you're a leader and a facilitator and a manager and supervisory type position of other people, when you get out of character, when you are the person that doesn't adhere to the policies and the principles and the practices that are best for your business, then you excuse other people for doing the same. And we see it all the time. I always contend when I walk into a place, and this is all my years in retail, and I can walk in, it bothers my wife. It does. It bothers her that I am like this. But I can walk into a place, and in the first 20 feet, I can decide if I want to do business there or not. And you'd say, well, why is that? Well, the first 20 feet, I mean, right, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And if somebody's not going to have the front area clean and well organized and priced, then I can only begin to imagine what the back of the house looks like. If we'll be that haphazard about trying to impress me as a customer, you know, what level of service can I expect? And so it's not just about that. You know, I think that's what's so important that people, you know, on social media, you know, people never post their weak moments, right? They never post the days when they're not feeling their best. Everybody wants to put the best foot forward. But I encourage you, always have a goal to be the genuine article and not just be one of these posers. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. They're not posers. They're the real deal. Yeah, the real deal Holyfield, for sure, to borrow a line from the great Snoop Dogg. But Bulldog Burger Company, maybe it works together. Snoop Dogg and Bulldog Burger Company, what a marketing idea that would be. But I understand Bulldog Burger Company is there to fit your needs. And I don't just eat for sustenance, right? I eat for enjoyment. You know, there are some times you just need to get something to eat, and other times you want something to eat. That's how it is at Bulldog Burger Company. When I want a great meal, when I want great service, great food at a great price, I go to Bulldog Burger Company. I don't even have to overthink it. I'm like, you know what, hey, there's so many great things on that menu that I know that I'm going to enjoy. Even if I don't maybe have a taste for something, I'll just go up there and say, you know what, I'll figure it out when I get there, because I understand the level of expertise, the level of care that I'm going to get when I go put my feet under their table. There are not a lot of places that I can say that about. There's just a level of consistency when I go to Bulldog Burger Company, and you should too. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. Find your own favorites in that great Bulldog arsenal when it comes to hamburgers. If you're a newbie, let me encourage you, just get the Bulldog, right? Unless you just want to walk on the wild side a little bit, then maybe get the smokehouse, the pimentology, add bacon. That's the hack. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, next time we get together will be day two of the Major League Baseball draft. So we're going to do our draft preview today. Got some football recruiting stuff to talk about today. Some baseball recruiting stuff. But we're going to start with the portal, and we'll also complete... Excuse me, we'll start with the draft, and then we'll complete our face cards series on the top 10 list. This is a fun list. It's also a little more difficult too. But let's start with the draft. And you know, we'll run through basically the list of the current Bulldogs first that are draft eligible. And so Pico Khan, our buddy, you know, we love Pico. You know, Pico had the opportunity last year to sign for the, with the Braves for a few hundred thousand dollars. He turned it down to come back and spend a year with Justin Parker. Pico goes from being kind of, you know, a guy rehabbing and coming off Tommy John to being a bona fide Friday night guy. Did he fade a little bit down the stretch? Yeah. I mean, fatigue. I mean, he never had that many innings in his life. But Pico currently ranked as the 122nd prospect by MLB.com. And he's the only Bulldog from 2025 that is ranked in that top 250. And so Pico, we expect to be the first Bulldog taken. We do think there is a really good chance he goes on day one. Of course, day one of the draft is Sunday. That'll be a busy day. But yeah, we certainly expect him to go on day one. Things get a little bit busy on day two, but there'll be a lot that happens on day one. We do expect Pico to get drafted. Had a chance to speak to Pico multiple times throughout the year. And I think, too, you know, this year was his first year kind of fully recovered from TJ. I think the best is yet to come for Pico. You know, you saw it with Ethan Small, too, right? There's some guys that come back from TJ, and they're different pitchers. And I think you saw that with Pico. Pico's always had that competitive streak. But I think now Pico is probably as polished as we've ever seen him, and that's what college baseball can do for you. Running through the rest of these guys, Aaron Downs, engaged, soon to be married. If Aaron gets an opportunity, I think it comes late in the draft. Aaron, there was a stretch there this year where you just simply couldn't pitch to him. He led us in home runs for a while. And the thing with Aaron has kind of been the issue is handling right-handed spin. He's extremely athletic. He can play multiple outfield spots and get some really solid contact, but it never has really come together. And a lot of it's been related to injuries. But he may get, you know, a 19th, 20th round type selection, maybe. Maybe get a free agent deal somewhere. And I don't even know if he's interested in that. But, yeah, Aaron's a guy, obviously, that came to Mississippi State with high hopes. And here we are just kind of hoping he gets an opportunity. Ben Davis, I've had some people tell me that Ben Davis is getting day one type interest. However, he has instructed his agent, unless there has been a change in recent days, that he is coming back to school. As you guys know, he made the announcement on social media and that he does not plan to sign this year. But there are some people out there that are still chattering a little bit. Bradley Lofton is draft eligible. I know he has not logged a lot of college innings all because of injury, but this is a guy that, you know, turned down some big money to come to school in the first place and just hasn't been able to get right. And it really hadn't been anybody's fault. It's just how life has been for him. Bradley Lofton is a great young man, extremely competitive left-handed pitcher. I have heard that if he doesn't get drafted, that he may head to UAB. That's not final. That's just what I've heard. You know, we'll see what happens there. Bryce Chance is also listed. Bryce has already announced that he plans to return. I do not expect Bryce to get drafted, and I think Bryce has been very...
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Open about that with people that he does plan to come back and play the 2026 season at Mississippi State, and we'll see what happens next year. Evan Sierra, you know, I had a chance to interview him a couple weeks ago. Sierra getting some traction in the back half of the draft. Some people are talking a little bit about that. Not a huge body of work, but down the stretch, I think most would agree he was State's most reliable starter. And so don't be surprised if he gets drafted later in the draft and then has a decision to make. And that's something to be wary of, right? You know, many of you down the stretch last year, you're thinking, man, I want Sierra to pitch. And he really has found himself, I think, in the last year. Great young man. Think a lot of him. And again, I think he will probably have a decision to make. Gavin Black is also draft eligible. We don't expect him to get drafted. He is one of State's few players of the outgoing transfers that have not announced their intentions yet. He is still listed as a recruitable athlete in the NCAA transfer portal, so he's not officially signed with anybody yet. Not sure what's going to happen with him. I don't expect him to be drafted. I do think that he will find a new college home. He has had some up and down moments in the Cape. He's had some good moments and some bad moments. But, you know, it's kind of been the thing kind of throughout his career is that he has good stuff, but the command hasn't always been there. And he had some issues this year. You're kind of working through some things, had some tightness and things like that. And I know that they inquired with some specialists, and we just could never seem to kind of get him right. Hunter Hines. I do think Hunter Hines will be drafted much higher than people expect. And Hunter could have been drafted last year, but after the after day two, it was a three-day draft last year, Hunter was like, you know what, I'm just going to go back to school, chase the home run record. Well, he got it. But I suspect he will be like a senior saver. And I wrote an article about that recently. I suspect that he will probably go in the first 10 rounds because he doesn't have any leverage, and they can offer him some money. And he either has the option to take it or leave it because there's really not a lot of negotiating power when you are a senior. But, yeah, don't be surprised if Hunter's drafted in the first 10 rounds, number one, because he deserves to be drafted, but number two, to give that club some flexibility with their bonus pool. Jacob Pruitt, a guy, the last Mississippi State baseball player to enter the portal, snuck in just before the deadline, and I wouldn't totally rule out a return to campus. Not totally. There's still some moving parts to all that stuff. But again, he has not picked another school yet. He's still kind of working through the process. Not exactly sure what's going to happen with him. I do not expect him to be drafted. I don't think there's enough body of work to justify that. Carson Ligon. I won't be surprised if Carson gets drafted late too. And listen, Carson, everybody remembers the LSU start, right? And it wasn't great. Wasn't great. Crazy day. He gets up expecting to pitch at a certain time, but ends up taking all day long. Carson's a guy that has life on the fastball, but maybe not as much movement. But when he can get his breaking stuff across and he can throw that slider for a strike, he's tough. I think somebody will take a chance on him late. Kevin Minnell went in the portal, also draft eligible. Now signed with Nebraska. I think Kevin's a guy, you know, remember, he went to the MLB Combine last year. So he's a name that's known among pro baseball circles. Just didn't do a whole lot with him. And really the book on him is he just doesn't have a pitch to get left-handers out. You know, he likes to use that sidearm slot. Well, when you're the right-handed sidearmer, it's tough to work inside to the left-handed hitter. It just is. You can backdoor a little bit too, but then people kind of figure out you're being predictable and they begin to kind of change point of contact, take the ball the other way. But he just doesn't really have an out pitch against left-handers. And so that's kind of going to be the thing with him. I do think he has some good stuff, but I might work on changing the arm slot a little bit. That's just me. Luke Dotson, of course, enters the portal, signs with Texas. I do think he will go to school. I do. Now, of course, Luke doesn't have any allegiance to those guys other than the fact that they've recruited him out of the portal. But a hard-throwing left-hander is a commodity in pro baseball, and especially a guy that can throw strikes. And Luke is extremely competitive. And we probably underutilized him this year. I think it's fair to say that we did. There were times we'd go out there and get him hot and bring him in a ballgame. And then, you know, there were some other times he had some big moments for State. But, you know, Luke's a guy that I think a lot of. We missed Dottie. Wish he'd still be a Bulldog. And that's probably the one guy that went in the portal that you look at and say, you know what, this kind of really bums me out. Cato Leary is probably my number two guy on that list. But Luke's a guy that I thought could really help us. Nate Williams, and he is draft eligible. You know, people forget he's been here forever, man. I mean, one of the issues with him, too, is age. You know, he is 23 and will be 24 in September. So in the event that he gets drafted, chances are he's going to sign. Yeah, this is a guy that was the number one junior college pitcher in the country when he signed with Mississippi State, showed up on campus, next thing you know, has to have TJ, and then it took him basically 2 years to come back. And had some big moments for State this year. And there were some other times, too, when things weren't quite there. But, again, just the first full year on the bump after TJ. And Nate's a guy that's nasty, too. I mean, he is a competitor. He really is. So that's one to watch, too. You know, and a lot of people haven't really talked about him. But there's a possibility that Nate Williams gets drafted. Reed Stallman has already announced that he plans to return. However, he is still draft eligible. And you don't sign up for the draft. It's not, you don't have to make any declarations. Either you're draft eligible or you're not. I don't think Reed gets drafted. I won't be surprised if he gets drafted late, though. I just don't know if they can pay him enough. Probably would have to sign for the minimum, and that's probably going to be comparable to the NIL deal he has in place at State. And that's just me speculating. But yeah, I think Stallman is probably back. Ross Highfield, draft eligible, too. I don't think Ross has done enough. I like Ross a lot. Ross in the portal, and I headed to Purdue. And people forget, you know, people were so hypercritical of Ross this year. I'm not going to sit here and say that he wasn't worthy at times of criticism, but I think people forget just 1 year removed from Tommy John. And as a catcher, you know, it's not like you can hide it, you know. And so I think Ross will probably have a good year this year, no matter where he ends up, whether it's minor league baseball or with Purdue. Stone Simmons also draft eligible, when he's a guy, too, that's already 24 years of age and has exhausted his eligibility at Mississippi State. Recently got married, too, and really proud of Stone for sticking this thing out. I mean, people forget he has been with us a long time. The last member of the 2021 NAFL championship team. So once now Stone is gone, that's the end of it. And I'm glad that Stone had one good final outing in maroon and white, so he goes out on a strong note. But big fan of Stone. Now, I had mentioned Garrick Frey. Now, Garrick Frey is draft eligible. And there is some chatter about Garrick Frey. The analytics with him are really good. Switch hitter, power from both sides of the plate, not a lot of swing and miss. I think somebody told me 11%. 11% swing and miss. That plays pretty well. And then power from both sides. He has a little bit of positional flex. You know, he was kind of awkward at times as a left fielder, but that's just him being a good bulldog and trying to find a home and get his bat in the lineup. But he was a third baseman at North Alabama, and he was their best player when he was there. And so there are some people, obviously, with area scouts that have been tracking his development. And I think the fact that he was willing to go play pretty much wherever we asked him. You know, he played some at second base. He played some at first. And obviously, eventually found a home in left field. And really kind of to Aaron Down's detriment, right? Because, you know, Aaron was a guy we kind of projected to be a regular outfielder. And I think when Aaron kind of struggled a little bit, they said, hey, we got to find a way to get more pop in the order. And we got to get Garrick Frey some at bats. And so here we are. But yeah, I understand Garrick has already kind of tentatively agreed to a deal with Mississippi State, but he is waiting out the draft to see what things look like. The same can be said for Noah Sullivan. Noah has not made a public declaration. I had a chance to interview him here a couple weeks ago, too, and that's one of the things we talked about. He's just kind of waiting out the draft and see where things go. And so, obviously, if he doesn't get drafted, he'll be back. And if he doesn't get drafted in a good enough position, he'll be back. I do think if Noah is drafted at all, he will go. And a lot of that, too, is because of age. And he doesn't have a natural position. You know, he could play some first base. He could probably play some outfield if he needed him to. DHs don't necessarily have a lot of value in the draft. But, you know, we'll kind of wait that process out. But the roster is still somewhat in flux. That's a part of the deal, and we're going to talk about the portal a little bit later in the show. But that's my expectation as we get into this thing. And so it's not going to be anywhere near the draft picks of last year, certainly on the top end. You know, in the early rounds, you know, you had Gerangelo go in the first, and then Cal Steven and Nate Dome went, and then we ended up having eight pitchers set a school record last year, had the most players selected in the draft from any college program last year. So we're not going to be anywhere close to that. But there will be some guys who get drafted and have the opportunity to sign. And some of those guys we'd like to have back. But we wish them the best no matter what happens. And we're appreciative of their contributions to Mississippi State. But that's what we do at Mississippi State, right? We expect guys to come in here chasing a major league dream and then have that become a reality in the maroon and white, that you come this way and it just helps us go get the next group too. But this portal class, again, looking very strong. We'll talk about that in the third segment of the show. But that's the draft preview. And then we'll update you on Monday, and we'll see how things go Monday. Monday will likely be a late show, and so we'll get through – you know, Sunday and Monday, and the draft will be over, and we'll have an idea of what things look like. And then we can kind of really get serious about roster composition. I think that's an important aspect of this. Because Brian O'Connor, those guys have got to know, right? I mean, what happens if Greg Frey, Noah Sullivan, Evan Seary all sign, right? Well, you know, you've already lined up some players to compete for those spots, but you may have to go get some others. And so getting through the draft is a big part of things. And then we'll kind of be on the clock then to see who signs. They have until August 1st to sign. We'll speak more about that once we kind of know the totality of the situation on Monday. And real quickly, let's take a quick look at some of the signees to be aware of. You know, Jacob Parker is a guy that he and his twin brother both are projected to be drafted fairly high. JoJo expected to go in the first round. We do expect him to sign. Jacob may have a decision to make. I think last report, he was ranked 144th player in the draft pool. You got to kind of wonder. You know, they're not necessarily similarly situated positionally, but you could see both sign. I think the four, the big four, as we talk about, you know, Landon Harmon, Jack Bauer. I feel fairly confident that Landon Harmon is going to be drafted high enough to sign. Jack Bauer, we'll see. You know, obviously when you're throwing 103 miles an hour from the left, you're going to create some buzz. So, yeah, we'll see. Now, some of these guys, too, may not be drafted. Some of these guys on the signee list. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they didn't get calls. There will be some that maybe perhaps have an asking price that teams aren't willing to meet, and so they don't get drafted. And some people kind of falsely believe then, well, maybe they were overhyped. It's just not the case. There's some guys like, hey, I got to get life-changing money or I'm not going to sign. So that's an aspect of this to consider. But, you know, Maddox Miller and several of these guys have already reported to campus. We don't expect Maddox to be drafted high enough to sign. The same could probably be said for Tanner Bellevue of Petal High School. Dad's a firefighter. Mom's super cool, too. Richie Swain, that's a guy that it is. He's the only signee that I haven't updated here as of late. They're just kind of still figuring this thing out with him. He is a guy, too, that some professional scouts believe could be drafted on day one. So that's something to watch. Charlie Wortham is a catcher out of Desmond Jesuit High School there in St. Louis, Missouri. Currently playing, you know, some summer league ball, but we'll report in August. But he's another guy that has pro potential, but we don't expect him to get drafted. Now, Parker Rhodes, right-handed pitcher from Greenville Central High School in Indiana. Of course, the connections with Lamontas and Cheese and Parker in that respect, that's one of the reasons that you get him in the first place. He is a guy that has really taken a jump in the last few months and could be on watch for the draft. I understand he's got a pretty firm number. We'll see what happens there. But he's already here on campus as the draft begins. So that's important to understand, too. The same can be said for Peter Mershon. Now, David Mershon, his older brother, is a guy that turned down some money to come to college in the first place. Peter will likely have to do the same. There will be some schools, pardon me, some teams that will call him looking to incentivize him to sign a pro contract. Completely different player. You know, David, you know, a little bit undersized in the eyes of some people, but more of the classic middle infielder build. But Peter, a much bigger guy, can play catcher, can play third, can play in the outfield. A much bigger, more physical player. As Peter said, Dave's the kind of guy that gets on base, and I'm the kind of guy that knocks those people in. Nick Frontino out of St. John Newman High School, a guy that can be a corner infielder. We feel pretty confident he'll come to school. The same with junior college players, Patrick Spencer and Peyton Fowler. And, again, those guys are on campus. And there's a handful that we'll still kind of work through. But, Again, the big four, the Parker brothers, Jack Bauer, Landon Harmon, all of them will get calls on day one. It'll be how committed they are to their asking price. And I've seen this so many times too. People open up and say, yeah, I want $2.5 million. And then they sign for half of that. It's difficult to walk away from that. It truly is. Everybody has good representation. And these guys that are represented by the Boris Group, like Jack Bauer, they're looking at the long play. They're not just looking at this draft. There are a lot of guys out there that have representation that's not, maybe not necessarily associated with these bigger agencies. Well, those agents need the money too. We've seen that happen in recent years too. You know, guys that needed the money. And so their agent encourages them to sign. And there are some of these families too, and this is not in any way to be critical of them, that their goal is different than maybe ours. You know, we live in the college bubble, and so we think everybody should come to college unless you're getting life-changing money. Some of these families, and I don't just mean specific to Mississippi State, but just the parents of potential draftees, they have spent considerable resources to help their son's dream come true. Many of them taking out second mortgages to help pay for everything, whether that be trainers, whether that be this travel to national events and things like that. There are a lot of people that have basically mortgaged their future for their child's future. And so there is a sense of obligation for a lot of these young people to sign to kind of pay mom and dad back for the investment they've made in their pro baseball future. We see it every year. And there are some guys who are just tired of going to school. There are some guys who are like, you know what, I'm done with all this. I'm going to sign and I'm going to get the minors. And if you read the Rowdy Jordan piece, and if you hadn't, I encourage you to do so, you'll see life in the minors isn't always so easy. And you begin to think about the 18-year-old kind of entering into the adult world, living away from home for the very first time and having to be in these hotel rooms and long bus rides. It's not the adventure that some people think it is. It is a grind. So we expect multiple Mississippi State high school signees and multiple Mississippi State players to be drafted. In addition to that, we'll take a quick look at guys in the portal that have signed with State that we'll have to be mindful of. And Davian Hickson's a name that comes to mind right away. He is a guy that even Joe Healy from D1 Baseball has said, he may benefit from going to Mississippi State for a year. We'll see how things kind of play out there. But, Vytas Valinkas, we expect him to be here, but he is a guy that's draft eligible. That could be an issue to watch. Aiden Teal, of course, a draft eligible sophomore from Virginia. He's got 2 years of leverage to work with, and I'm told very firm in his asking price, so we'll kind of see how that plays out. Blake Beavis is a guy that I was told was going to withdraw from the draft. I don't know that he's officially done that. That is something to watch. And Drew Wires, this is a guy, too, that I've even had a couple scouts tell me that, Steve, this thing looks a little crazy because, he kind of struggled for a while but then figured it out last year at Bryant and had a huge year. And he really, really improved his swing and miss ratio. And that's difficult to do. And I think a lot of it, too, is maybe pitch recognition. So a lot of names to watch, a lot of stories to write, a lot of things that have a connection to Mississippi State that will be impacted by this draft. And again, we'll talk a little more about the portal later in the show. But we will keep you fully apprised of everything happening, and we'll have some articles to kind of explain things in their proper context as guys get drafted. But the thing that where you can help when it comes to messaging is when these people go out there in the Facebook groups that are just kind of casual fans, and we love them too. We need every fan we can get at Mississippi State. But there are a lot of people that are going to be kind of speaking from a position of ignorance. And they're going to say, oh my gosh, we're losing the whole team, or we're losing the whole class. We're already oversigned in that respect ahead of the deadline at the end of the year before we get ready to play baseball. And so, yeah, we're going to have some guys signed. That's expected. But, we'll keep you mindful of any surprises that may come along our way. But, I think of those big four, I think you're going to lose at least two of them and probably three of them. And then we'll see what happens to Pete and Rashawn. Pete and Parker, Maybe Richie Swain. Maybe there's seven guys in that signing class you look at and say there is a reasonable expectation that they're going to have to turn down money to come to school. So be mindful of that as you begin to kind of read the commentary out there. All right, time for today. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. Our player of the day, brought to you by closewithblair.com. Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair knows how to get things done. Blair is a guy with 24 years of experience and expertise. Get his know-how working for you. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. If you need the number, just hit me up. Many people have. I'm happy to provide it. Maybe you're driving today and you don't have the opportunity to write the number down. Maybe you have some mortgage needs, and maybe you've neglected those, and you begin to think about, you know what, Steve, I'm just not ready to get it done. We have tried to buy a home before and have been disappointed. Work with Blair. It's worth your time and trouble just to give him an opportunity to serve you, because he can likely make your dream of home ownership come true when so many others can't. Yeah. Blair is a guy that knows how to get it done, whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, or perhaps a game day condo. Blair Chandler is the name to know. Visit his website at closewithblair.com. Our player of the day is going to be Brent Rooker, who will be competing in the Home Run Derby. And I believe if David Murray's research is correct, Rafael Palmeiro and Brent Rooker are the only Mississippi State alums that have participated in the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby. And you'll get the opportunity to see. I give Brent Rooker a lot of steam here, because I think that he has a really good chance to win this thing. It's worth watching, I think. Now you have a rooting interest in the Home Run Derby. And, you know, All-Star Weekend is always kind of interesting anyway. But, you know, we'll see how things go. And a lot of people like me kind of live in the big maroon bubble, you know. And I do. You know, I'm everything that I do is kind of related to Mississippi State. But Monday, 7 p.m. Central, that'll be your 2025 Home Run Derby at Truist Park in Atlanta, Georgia. So maybe you can go out and watch it if you're in the area looking for something to do. It might be fun to bring the kids. But you'll be able to watch Brent Rooker have a chance to compete for something super cool. And now it's time for today's Top 10 List, brought to you by Calido Guitars. That's CalidoGuitars.com. Yes, that's the guitar shop. And it should be your guitar shop. Get their expertise working for you, too. They know all about guitars. It is a Mississippi State-owned and operated business out in Lake Jackson, Texas. If you're in the area, go by the showroom. Let them see your smiling face. Walk out of there with some cool equipment. If you can't make it out there to see them, you can shop online. We'll give you a promo code, too. You can use it whether you are in person, online, or over the phone. I don't know many businesses that do that. A lot of people give you an online shopping code. They're allowing you to use it no matter your method of shopping. That's super cool. Super cool. But yeah, if whether you're looking for a new guitar, and maybe you should be, you can get an acoustic, you can get a classical guitar, you can get an electric guitar, you can get a beginner guitar, a professional grade guitar, everything you need for every guitar player in your life, no matter level of expertise, those needs can be met with Galito Guitars. Here's a cool thing, too. Whether you need a guitar or a gig bag or a case or any of your accessories, you can find it at CalidoGuitars.com. Be sure and check them out today. Your promo code is BSR. You know it well. That's going to trigger a lot of things. That's going to get you a 10% discount off your purchase no matter what you buy. That's going to get you free shipping. That's going to get you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And it's going to get a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. I wish more businesses did that. I think that is super cool. Be sure and check them out today, CalidoGuitars.com. All right, so we're going to complete our face card thing. I'm not sure what we're going to do on Monday. I've got a few things. I've had a few requests from you. So I got to decide. One person even said, hey, when you're done with the face cards, could you finish? Well, we're not going to do all the numbers in the deck, but we might do something else and we can work in the Joker, right? We'll see. There's probably not enough songs about Jokers out there that are of merit. So we'll see. had somebody else inspired by the V for Vendetta talk about movies about revenge. And again, that's on Netflix now. Be sure and check that out. This weekend, you're probably going to be looking for something to watch, and you're going to be just like scrolling, looking for something cool. V for Vendetta, for a limited time only, available on Netflix. Be sure and check it out. I wish we could get that on the big screen here in Starkville for November the 5th. That would be so great. I'm going to recommend that next time I go to the show. Hey, what do we need to do? I'll even promote it on the show. I'll promote it on socials for free. Can we get V for Vendetta on the big screen at the Starkville Movie Theater November 5th? Can we do that? I think we should, and I think that I would want to go see it on the big screen. So here we go. Top 10 songs about Jacks. Now, I didn't include Hardy's Jack, which I think is great. This is more classic rock. I love Hardy. I love the song Jack. It got some great airplay on Sirius XM Octane. Of course, the song is about, Jack Daniels. You know, about Jack kind of personified as your buddy. Kind of letting you know, hey, man, take a sip of me, you know. But here we go. Top 10 songs about Jack. It's kind of an eclectic list. And I said it's mainly classic rock. It is. But we're going to open up with a band called Under Oath. Do you know them? Under Oath. So this may qualify as the longest song title to ever appear on our top 10 list. And it's I've Got 10 Friends and a Crowbar That Says You Ain't Gonna Do Jack. It's actually a fun song, too. Yeah, it's actually a fun song. And we've been in those situations before, too. Right? Yeah, I know you have, right? There's always that loudmouth guy. You know, as Jay-Z said, loud as a motorbike, but wouldn't crush a grape in a fruit fight. You know it's true. And maybe you've been that guy. But anyway, cool song. Probably a band you don't know very well. I just thought we'd introduce that. Now, number 9, Soul Asylum. A lot of people know them from, Runaway Train. They know them for the adult contemporary side of Dave Pirner. But Soul Asylum, earlier in their years, was really more of a kind of a punk band. And we're going to go with Jack of All Trades from Soul Asylum. It's a song I think you'll have fun with. Number 8, I dig this track. And it's very stereotypical of Metallica. Right? It's very along the brand here. It's kind of got that very rhythmic, gothic, marching army across the countryside type feel to it. And it's the house that Jack built. And it's rumored to be based on, loosely based on like Ted Bundy. So it's about a serial killer. All right, number 7. We don't talk about Glenn Danzig and the Misfits very often, but when we get the chance, we should enjoy that. The Misfits, legendary punk band, and I mean a true punk band. I don't mean this Green Day filth these people tried to push upon you. This, no, they're not punk, okay? They're a pop band. Stop saying it. It's the only reason I still have Facebook is to troll Nirvana and Green Day fans online. But yeah, the Misfits, the real deal. Of course, you know Glenn Danzig from the great song Mother. It seemed like every high school football stadium I went to for about 10 years, everybody played Mother. And it's a song that'll get you, it'll get you going for sure. But it's Jack the Ripper from the Misfits with Glenn Danzig on vocals. Number 6, My Friends. I didn't get a chance to see them on this last run, and I regret that. So we'll see them next time, especially with the tragedy within the Faster Pussycat family. You guys may have kept up with that, you know, when Tammy's now former significant other, Kimberly, jumped off the boat. It's absolute insanity, and I should have made time to go. But anyway, they open many sets with this song off the Whipped album, which is probably my favorite Faster album is Wake Me When It's Over. I can listen to that start to finish and never feel like that I've wasted a second of my life. But some of my favorite songs are on the Whipped album. You know, Nonstop to Nowhere is on there. This is on there too. It's Jack the Bastard. And they open a lot of sets with this. And I asked Tammy about that one day. I said, you open with Jack the Bastard a lot? He goes, yeah, it's really just to kind of get me cleaned out. Like, because it is such a challenge vocally. It kind of gets me warmed up in the right way. I mean, you can't go out there and sing House of Pain, you know, to open up. So Jack the Bastard, the usual lead song for this Faster Pussycat set list. Number five, when we heard this, and a lot of people mistook this band for being like a Seattle band because they wore flannel shirts, you know. Everybody's like, oh, well, and along those lines too, because I lived through it, I don't have to go read a, you know, an article. I lived through it. You know, the first band that was really getting a lot of traction on MTV at the time that wore flannel, and you can trust me, you can fact check me on this. You go back and you look at that Give It To Me Good video by Trickster. Remember that? Remember those guys? It's such a fun song. You go watch the video. They're wearing flannel shirts and riding motorcycles and just kind of enjoying life. They were kind of the first band that reintroduced flannel into popular culture. And then some other people begin to kind of equate that with Seattle. But when Jackal first hit the scene, it was around the same time, obviously, in 91. But guys, they're based out of Kennesaw, Georgia. I mean, these are Southern boys all the way. You know, and Jesse James Dupree, an absolute riot to see play live. We got a chance to see him in Oklahoma. And they still played his song, and it's the Lumberjack. Yeah, the Lumberjack, to kind of fit our motto. You know, they played a chainsaw as an instrument during that song, and it was so revolutionary. My favorite Jackal song, though, is When Will It Rain? Love it, man. All right, number four, another one of my favorite bands, and I'm going to tell you this. If you put this album on, and I didn't tell you who it was, like if we're just out shooting pool one night, and I put this album on, about halfway through, you'd be like, man, who is this? This is just really good. It's really good. Well, it's the Motley self-titled album with John Corabi as the lead singer. I've said on the show before, I think musically, this is the best Motley album. And I think maybe having John play some of the guitar parts allowed Mick to be a little more creative, and Mick Mars a riff master. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I've seen interviews out there where Mick and Tommy Bowe say, you know, musically, that may have been our best album. And I tend to agree. And I think John Corabi's vocal kind of allowed them to use some different tunings and explore the full power of their talent. But a song that John Corabi wrote and brought with him to Motley is Uncle Jack. And that album absolutely rips. But some people never gave it a chance because, oh, without Vince, it's not Motley. And maybe they should have changed the name of the band. I don't know. But that self-titled Motley Crue album is phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal from start to finish. Some of my favorites, Till Death Do Us Part, love that one. Here in the Now, it's another one. Or Living in the Now. Anyway, Hooligan's Holiday, that's the song you know. But John Corabi, great. Number three, AC/DC. You knew it was coming at some point. You just didn't know where it was going to be on the list. It's the Bon Scott bluesy classic, The Jack from AC/DC. Number two, you knew this was coming too. You probably thought it would be number one. But it's the Rolling Stones' Jumpin' Jack Flash. And this song, all of a sudden, has made a resurgence in popular culture. I don't know the young man, but there is a video, a reel that's made the rounds, it's gone viral, of some younger kid who's supposedly like a soccer phenom over in Europe dancing the Jumpin' Jack Flash, and it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. Jumpin' Jack Flash in and of itself is incredible. But to see people of newer generations embrace the song and allow it to get some playing time is great. So check it out, Jumpin' Jack Flash from the Stones. And number one, not that we have ever sucked on a chili dog. I don't know that's ever happened a moment in my life. I've been to the Tasty Freeze, but I have never sucked on a chili dog. Yeah, we're talking Jack and Diane from John Cougar Mellencamp. It's really a song, and he even says, oh, ain't that America, you know. A little bit later in that album on Pink Houses. But Jack and Diane is basically a song about coming of age in the United States. It's a very American song in many respects. And John Cougar, a national treasure, even though I think in his older age that he is, I don't know, maybe become a little crotchety, you know. But John did so much with Farm Aid and to help the American farmer and really bring life in the Midwest into our living rooms around the country. I think that's one of those things that's pretty important too. So there you go. That's your top 10 list for today. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Hit up Roy on X at Roy Samanti. His name is Roy Samanti, but his handle is at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. The 67 stands for 1967. And I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. You can find our great list on Spotify under Roy's Dogmatic67 handle. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Book Mart, a Starkville institution. We love Campus Book Mart, and why? Because they have what we want. Every Mississippi State fan in your life wants more Mississippi State merch, whether it's something for their office, something for the garden, something for the wardrobe. Mississippi State gear is what we want. It makes it easy to buy for us. It really does. Because there are a lot of things in life we're picky about. Mississippi State merch, not one of them. We just want it officially licensed, and you can find plenty of officially licensed Mississippi State merchandise at Campus Book Mart. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. If you can't make it to town, perhaps shop online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. I'm about to place an order myself and use my own promo code. How about that? That's super cool, right? I got to ship something somewhere. So I'm going to use the BSR code. And you know what happens too? You put that buggy together and it's like $65. And I'm like, you know what? Instead of paying money on shipping, I'm going to find 10 more dollars to spend and get goods in exchange for my dollars rather than just services. So we're very thankful to have Campus Book Mart with us for, you know, another year. It's been years, man. We love having Campus Book Mart around. And next time you're in town, please go by and see them. Let's talk a little baseball recruiting. Mississippi State picked up another portal player. Very intriguing. Andrew Raymond is the name. And Andrew, it's interesting. You know, he's from Middletown High School in Maryland. We're starting to see a lot of this with Brian O'Connor. A lot of recruiting along the Eastern Seaboard. You know, we've gone up into New Jersey, and we've even got a kid from New Hampshire. I mean, you know, we've expanded the recruiting footprint. We are recruiting as a national recruiter. Now, that's not to say that we are completely abandoning the natural recruiting footprint, but we don't have any kids from Mississippi committed for the next class yet. Isn't that interesting? But Andrew Raymond, a guy that can play multiple positions, and 6'1", 195-pound left-handed hitting catcher. I don't know if he's a split guy or not. I traded some messages with him. We'll have the opportunity to speak sooner rather than later. We try to respect that and do it on the player's time. Part of that, too, is the guys want to tell the other schools. You know, they want to have a conversation with them and do things the right way. There's a lot of that that happens in baseball. But nevertheless, looking at Andrew Raymond as a freshman, started 50 games behind the dish. We talked about, you know, basically the depth chart at the catcher position at Mississippi State had pretty much been gutted. You get Jackson Owen back. It's a good thing. You go out and get Kevin Malewski from Seton Hall. But we knew we needed a second catcher, whether that be somebody from a lower level. But this is a scenario, too, where you get a guy that's got a couple years to work with. That's an important aspect of this thing, too. You know, so you're getting him, but you also should be able to keep him for a couple years. So, you know, he'd probably go out there and start 20 games for you this year and then be ready next year to be the starter. And, of course, you've got Tanner Bellevue, who can catch and play other spots, and, of course, Wortham coming in too. But looking at Raymond's numbers here, played in 51 games, started 50, hit 287. So 174 collegiate at-bats. He had 50 hits. Now, granted, George Mason doesn't play in the greatest league, but I don't care where you are. If you're a high school kid playing Division I baseball and you hit almost 290 as a freshman, That's getting it done. He had five jacks too, which was third best on the George Mason team. That's good. 33 RBI, 26 strikeouts, and then 30 walks. Brian O'Connor really has a type, doesn't he? I mean, think about that as a true freshman. To walk more than you strike out, and you've had about 175 ABs. That's an impressive statistic. It shows this is a young man, too, that can control the zone a little bit. 393 on base percentage. He is not very fleet of foot, and that's part of the deal, too. So no stolen base attempts for him last year. We don't need him to steal bases. We need him to be a good catcher and drive in runs. Exit velo about 105 miles an hour. Pretty significant. Now, George Mason, we're a winning team this year, too. I mean, think about that just for a second. Guys, they were 40-21 overall and 20-10 within their league. And so their primary catcher was a freshman on a winning team. That speaks volumes to me, too. Not just about his freshman year, but about his potential. That's fairly significant. And I don't know if you kept up a lot with George Mason, but you know, they did not make the tournament. However, they did make a run in the Atlantic 10 baseball tournament and then lost to URI in the tournament final. So just missed about a win. It's tough to get an at-large bid when you're in the A-10. It's tough. But, yeah, good get. You know, and again, you know, we work through this stuff all the time, and it's difficult at times to kind of keep up. We keep a transfer tracker pinned at the top of the jeanspage.com message boards. You can find it on my socials from time to time, too. But anytime we get somebody new, we update. But, again, running down the list, and I have interviewed every one of these players with the exception of Andrew Raymond, and we have, again, traded some messages. I have the number. We'll get together hopefully the next day or so. But, again, Thomas Valencas, I still think it should be Tomas Valencias, but nobody asked me. James Nunnally from Virginia, Vitas Valencias out of Illinois. Yes, he is the brother of Thomas. Sean James from Virginia, Aiden Till from Virginia. We discussed him in the draft preview. Ryder Wilson, a shortstop, middle infield candidate from NC State, Maddox Webb of the Citadel. Tyler Pitzer from South Carolina. Really enjoyed talking to him, too. Jackson Loger is a guy that officially visited state earlier this week. Had a chance to recap that for you yesterday. And again, that's a free story. Blake Beavis from Ball State. That's a guy, too, that got a little draft buzz. We're hearing he's coming to school, though. We'll see how things go. Maluski, not draft eligible this year. William Kirk, younger guy, too. Expected him to be a real dude. And I think that's an undervalued portal commitment right there. William Kirk was expected to be in the starting rotation of Virginia. And then he had an ACL tear. You hear about UCL all the time with pitchers, but an ACL tear. But, yeah, he's back and doing well. We expect him to be a real dude for us. Brendan Sweeney should be a bullpen piece. Talked about Hickson, Drew Wires, and, of course, now Andrew Raymond. But, yeah, I mean, so it's a good portal class. And you begin to kind of work through all this stuff. You know, again, the guys at 64 Analytics are the, you know, it's easy to be critical. But the reality of this is, like, nobody else is really doing it. And there's a few other people out there kind of throwing some things at it. They've kind of made this their thing. And I think that's a good thing. There was probably a niche. You know what I mean? There was probably a reason that this didn't exist. And now that it does, it's good stuff. Yeah, good stuff. And, yeah, portal ranking, you know, number one, Mississippi State still. Number one, according to 64 Analytics, and kind of running that down for you, too, if you haven't kept up. We have a subscription. But Mississippi State, number one. Tennessee, number two. Georgia, number three. Texas is four. South Carolina is five. Auburn, six. Kentucky, seven. Eight, Virginia. And, of course, Mississippi State benefits by the influx of Virginia players. Virginia benefits by the influx of Duke players. Arkansas now 9th, Alabama 10th, Oklahoma 11th, and Arizona State 12th, and Texas A&M there at 13th. Miami 14, Florida 15. I'm not going to run the whole list down for you, but again, a lot of SEC flavor in this, as you would expect. Now, it's interesting, too, looking back at last year. Last year's portal classes. You know, how did things go? Right? Because the portal's not going away. Now, we don't expect to be as reliant on it as maybe we have been. But do you know who had the number one portal class in the country last year? It was LSU. They won the national championship. The number two portal class in the country, and they went to Omaha. Heartbreaking loss to LSU. Arkansas. Number three was Georgia, a top eight national seed. Of course, they didn't make it again, but a top eight. Auburn, your number four portal class in the country last year. Now, part of that, too, Cade Fisher was the number one pitcher, according to these folks, and that didn't work out. But Auburn was the top eight national seed. Texas was the fifth best portal class in the country, also a top eight national seed. And so right out of the gate, the top five portal classes of last year all ended up being a top eight. Number six was Miami. Seven was Texas A&M. You know how there were you went. And Kentucky was eight. And then Kentucky makes the tournament, one of the last teams to get in. A&M doesn't. So, but you run through it here. And again, this is the scenario, right? The world in which we live. And what's interesting, too, one of the top non-SEC, ACC schools in the portal rankings last year was Kansas. Came in at number 10. And then Kansas had one of the best years they've ever had, working the portal and the junior college ranks. But again, there is some evidence that these rankings are being tweaked in a way that they're becoming a little more accurate. Of course, at the end of the day, the most difficult thing to do is to predict future human performance. So you never know for sure. But there is something to be said when, you know, the top five teams in the 64 analytics portal rankings for last year all ended up being top eight national seeds. That's ahead of time, right? That's not something that happened later. And so they felt good about it, obviously. And things didn't go well for A&M. Some guys didn't perform. And Kentucky, of course, you know, makes a tournament. But, you know, again, you look at this in hindsight, and you could say, you know what, hey, there's a little something to this, that if you were a team that puts together a great portal class, then maybe you have an opportunity to play baseball for a long time. Again, the rankings have gotten better. Taking a quick snapshot back at 2023, you know, Georgia led. Georgia ended up being a top eight, too. Arkansas, number two. And it was A&M. Of course, A&M went and played for a national championship at next year, right? Because, of course, they had the strength of Braden Montgomery. Ole Miss was four. That didn't work out quite as well. And then there's Tennessee at five, who won the national championship. And so, again, not ready to just kind of give it a full endorsement and say, hey, this is absolutely correct. And I suspect the people at 64 Analytics will tell you the same thing. They're still learning as we go. They didn't have a lot of data points in the beginning. And so now that we've got a couple of years of the baseball portal kind of being a thing, you know, again, now you can kind of begin to tweak the formula a little bit. But, again, your Bulldogs right now with the best portal class in the country, and when you marry that with what we have coming back, there is reason for optimism when it comes to Mississippi State Baseball 2026. And, again, we'll keep you updated on every bit of this. All that stuff's important to us. You know, it is. And we keep up with it, so maybe you don't have to look so close, you know. That's just kind of part of the deal. But it's something that we monitor regularly. And, you know, we're not done in the portal either. That's important to understand, too. Not done with the portal. Working through a couple things, too. You know, I think I share with you guys, Mekhi Grant headed now to Kennesaw State. You know, Wes Pritchard headed to Arkansas State. There's a couple guys we're still kind of, you know, seeing what they're going to do. But we wish those guys the best. Everybody that's ever worn a uniform, I wish them the best because they came out there and competed the best they could to represent all of us. But, yeah, we'll have some more portal traffic after the draft is over. because we're going to probably have some guys that we've signed out of high school and out of the portal that'll get drafted, have a decision to make, and then we'll have to adjust. And it's so interesting, too, about that. This is another reason why I think the draft should be changed and the portal window should be shortened, because players have until August 1st to sign. And so if you've got a guy kind of like Dave Marchand last year that had to kind of wait and see what Ryan Preggar was going to do to see how much money the Angels are going to be able to offer him, you run out of the opportunity to replace him, because you're going to hold a spot for Dave Marchand, right? So you go recruit somebody else that's not going to be the caliber of Dave Marchand, and if you wait too long, you ultimately have nobody, because you know what? We got to report for the fall semester. We got to start school. And so other players begin to kind of disappear around you. Your options have become somewhat limited. So there's some problems with our current baseball calendar that need to be addressed. And some people want to, like, move the season back. Listen, I'm all about growing the game. But the issue is, too, especially as we have become so student-athlete conscious, do we really want to push the season into June and then postseason into July? When will these young people have a chance to get some time off? Because there's not everybody goes and plays in the Cape or plays summer ball. A lot of your players right now are just kind of hanging around Starkville, eating at their favorite restaurants and going and kind of getting some work in. And, you know, baseball is a game, obviously, that it's not seasonal the way that it used to be. But I don't think anybody is going to be in favor of the student-athletes going to play into July just so some teams up north can have a home game. You know, you got to figure it out. You know, you do. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. That's right. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, where you're bringing a large group to town, and maybe perhaps you've considered that and thought, you know, wouldn't it be great, man, just to get everybody together, get all the brothers and sister and all the significant others, the kids, and give mom and dad the gift of having everybody under one roof for a couple nights. It sounds like a dream, but it can be a reality to you. We have stayed there. We had a blast, an absolute blast. We plan to do it again. We stayed there for New Year's, had a chance to sit around and watch a little football. Then we did some cooking. We also ordered some food in, played some games, and just enjoyed being a family. There's so much in life that kind of pulls you in a million different directions. Take some time for yourself and for the ones you love the most, and make plans to stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You get the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 3 baths, the old renovated country club, clubhouse just out past the Highlands. So easy to get to, plenty of peace and quiet, plenty of parking. Because that's one of those things, too, they don't tell you about. I've had that happen to me, too. When I went and stayed at an Airbnb to go cover a ball game, I came here where it was, maybe Knoxville, and had to park on the street, didn't have private parking. Plenty of parking there. So you don't need to worry about that. You worry about that Airbnb, where's everybody going to park? Well, it was the old country club, so we got plenty of parking for you and your guests. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse when you do. Their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse all the amenities available to you and your guest. Some booking options are going to pop up too. Airbnb, VRBO, always options. But if you want to save a few bucks, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR, the number 10, 10. Get you 10% off your stay. Nothing better than that, I can tell you. Making memories with those you love the most are the things that sustain you later in life. I can tell you at this advanced age, it means so much to me to be able to have everybody together and to see your children interact and love on the nieces and the nephew. And that kind of stuff is so important, so incredibly important. So make plans today to stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, there will be a football announcement today as Kayvon Conciero will announce his decision. He has a final five of Auburn, Duke, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Mississippi State. We do not expect it to be Mississippi State. That is a little bit of a disappointment, but we're not going to give up on him by any stretch of the imagination. You got Isaiah Mitchell here. You got Ricky Johnson here. He has some teammates here. He is one that I expect Mississippi State to continue to recruit all the way to the December signing period. My crystal ball pick is in for Duke. I reported yesterday So I felt pretty good about it. I thought it would be between State and Duke, with maybe Georgia Tech as a dark horse. I've heard enough chatter today that I do believe it's going to be Duke. And again, it's just a disappointment. But and he said some very positive things about Mississippi State. His interview with Rion Young about how this is an offense that every wide receiver would want to play in. And later in the interview, we talked about Duke and Manny Diaz. So we'll see how things progress over the next few months when it comes to his recruitment. So he's going to announce at 5:30 Central. So we've got a story ready just in case we've read this thing wrong. But I can tell you, based on what I'm hearing, the sourced reports that I have, that we do expect him to be a Duke Blue Devil come 5:30 Central today. I told you guys, too, that I would reach out to some people and kind of get you a little more information on the Zach Selman situation. I will tell you this. I know that the immediate response when that job came open, and from the very day that Zach Selman stepped on our campus, there were people that said, hey, he's going to be the AD in training here and then head back to Oklahoma. I am not totally convinced that's the case. I know some of you want that to be the case. And a lot of, I can't sit here and tell you why you feel the way you do, because I don't know. I know how I feel. Zach Selman's been great to me. Every time that something uncomfortable has popped up, whether it be a coaching change or a rumor about his job status or about him, possibly interviewing for other jobs or about finances, I have always been able to pick up the phone and call Zach Selman. Always. And he's always taking the call. Sometimes I'll just shoot him a text, hey, I've got some things for you when you get a few minutes. And I will tell you that Zach Selman, you're going to learn today, probably, I don't know, weekend, maybe Monday at the latest, we are hiring two more people. That will be working with Mitch Moser, who is now the CFO of Mississippi State Athletics. They're going to be working basically primarily with employee or player compensation, student-athlete compensation. And I've got a story ready to go right now that kind of discusses one of those positions. But we're bringing people in. One of those has some connections to Zach through a couple of stops. But always Oklahoma, there's always a tie to Oklahoma, it seems. But it seems odd to me. If I was getting ready to go do something different, right? If I was getting ready to leave Mississippi State and leave Starkville, God forbid, to go cover another team, I would not be bringing in great people here knowing that I'm leaving soon. Especially people that I know. It's one thing if I've got a vacancy to fill and you need to do that. You got some box you got to check. But if I was going to leave, like if I'm going to leave and go cover, Alabama or something, I'm going to save those promotions and those hires for when I get to Alabama, if that makes sense. So I believe there is a better than average chance that Zach Selman is your athletic director after Oklahoma makes a decision. I can't rule that out, the possibility. There are some people in Norman, Oklahoma that are very much advocating for Zach Selman. Zach is a guy, obviously, that has a lot of connections there. Norman is home in many respects, but his family's not really there. His sisters are kind of scattered throughout the country. He's got family in town now. It's one of those things that I think is very interesting that again, I have been on the other end of this. When you have a coaching change and you put a coaching board together, well, you pick the most obvious names first. It's just like when we began the coaching search that ultimately brought Jeff Lebby here. Well, Shane Beamer is a guy that regularly vacations with the Selmans. So we put him on the board, and some people were kind of critical. Well, why would we hire Shane Beamer? Well, number one, Shane Beamer has ties here to Mississippi State and has a relationship that's very close with your athletic director. So it makes sense. On the flip side of it is we said, well, you don't know that he's won enough with South Carolina to get this job, right? I mean, obviously, Shane's got family here. But you start there. You start with the obvious names first. Now, we've been pretty blessed and fortunate in our coverage of coaching and AD searches in the last several years. And to be honest with you, I don't know how many of them I've got left in me because it requires so much of your time and effort. And, of course, there's a lot of people out there that take the obvious candidates and just parrot them as sourced information. And I think you're seeing a lot of this with this Oklahoma search because Zach Selman makes so much sense because he, you know, grew up a Sooner. He didn't play there, played at Wake Forest. And because his family is so well respected in the Oklahoma family, he seems like an obvious choice. That doesn't mean it's going to be an obvious pick. And that understood, I am told with some high level of confidence that Oklahoma is initially going to look to hire somebody from the business world because of the fact that college athletics has become so business conscious. Because you have now a payroll to meet legally, not the SMU pony excess type payroll, but because of the fact that there is so many more moving parts to athletics that are not necessarily sports specific, there are some of these leaders in college athletics that are looking to go hire people that have maybe a little more business acumen. And that seems to be the direction that Oklahoma initially plans to take. That doesn't mean that Zach Selman's not going to get a phone call. That doesn't mean that Zach Selman doesn't get an interview. I think if you're Oklahoma, you have to interview Zach Selman even if you have no intentions of hiring him, just from an optics standpoint. And if you're Zach Selman, I see the other side of this thing too. How often is this job going to come open again in your lifetime? There are a couple things that I can tell you without any reservation. Zach Selman loves raising his family in Starkville, Mississippi. Rachel Selman loves Starkville. The girls love Starkville. And when you think about being daddy, okay, let's just take sports out of it for a second. Think about our own lives. Now, for dads, I think I speak for most of us. We don't require a lot. We don't really need a lot. I live by the whole thing, you know, wherefore I am, I shall be content, right? As long as my wife and children are happy, I will find happiness in their happiness. You know, there's a big part of me that I wish I lived in West Hollywood and covered rock music every day for a living. You know, there's a part of me. But I don't think Dana would be happy doing that. Now, she loves me, so she would want me to go chase my dreams. But, you know, the bigger dream was this one, right? And so I got this big house out in the country. And it's just me and her now. We're empty nesters, and it's a lot more house than we need. And there are a lot of times I think about, you know what? I'd love to kind of fix the place up and sell it. Let's move to town. And eventually, maybe we will. But that's not what she wants to do. Now, granted, we don't have the time to work the land like we used to. We certainly don't have the help. But I know that she's happy here. I know that my kids love being able to come home. And this is home. And so moving again, it wouldn't be home for them. It'd be mom and dad's place. And so there is an aspect of that that you have to consider too. Not just the professional side, but the personal side of this. As a dad with a wife with two younger children, Zach Selman has to consider that aspect of it. That's not a shot at Norman, Oklahoma in any way. It's a great place. But when your kids are happy and your wife is happy, how much is that worth? Well, I think it's immeasurable. And I think that's something that has to be considered in every bit of this. When you begin to kind of break this thing down, not everybody comes here looking to leave. Now, I like ambitious people. I want people to come in here and say, you know what, I'm going to come in here and do what I can to kind of get to the next level. And then there are people that come here and ultimately fall in love with the place and say, you know what, Mississippi State is great. The Mississippi State people are great. And I could spend the rest of my life and career here. And we've had some people that have done that. You know, I think about Mike Nemeth. He works for me. That was Mississippi State's, I joke with him all the time that he is like the SID emeritus for Mississippi State. He worked here for nearly 30 years. The guy ran a Heisman campaign in South Carolina that ultimately George Rogers won. What a feather in his cap. How many people can make that claim, right? Not a lot. There's hundreds of SIDs around the country. They're not hundreds of people that have run a successful Heisman campaign. But Mike came here And really, it wasn't a situation where he planned to plant roots. He comes in here, ultimately meets a diamond girl, Renee. They get married, the beautiful Renee Nemeth. And they have some amazing kids. And this is home. And so, you know, Mike's a guy from, went to Massillon High School there in Ohio. And they have to go back from time to time. But Mike found Starkville to be his home. And it's because it's where his wife and kids were, right? When mom is happy, the kids are happy, it's a lot easier for daddy to be happy. It's true. And so we'll keep you abreast of all that as we learn things. But I would say I feel better about him staying today than I did on Wednesday. And again, I think we need stability. And again, you know, Zach's got his detractors, and he always has. You know, so does John Cohen. So does Scott Strickland. So does Larry Templeton. So does Charlie Carr. I mean, you go all the way down the list. I've got detractors. You've got detractors. And if you don't have detractors, it's because you've never been in a position to make decisions, to make enemies. It's how life works. You know, people that stand for something get criticized, you know, because you can't make everybody happy. And you can't live your life thinking that. So you have to focus on who and what matters most. So if you're Zach Selman, you have to think about what's best for me and my family. Not maybe what's necessarily best for my ego or even my career. What is best for me as a collective unit, as a family group, and what is where am I happiest? That's something that has to be considered. So again, we will continue to monitor things. I'm told it's probably October or November before they make a decision at Oklahoma. Of course, they get the right candidate that could make a move sooner rather than later. But I think the understanding is they'd like to kind of get through football season and then have somebody kind of that Joe Castiglione can kind of shadow, you know, for a couple months until you turn the reins over to him in January. That's the understanding that I have, and we'll see if that, you know, proves to be the case. I mean, just when you think you've got things figured out, things change. But yeah, we will keep you abreast of all of that. And again, I you know, commend Zach Selman on the 6 months that he's had that Mississippi State has benefited so richly from. And that is something to be considered as well. And again, you are certainly entitled to your opinion. I choose to support Mississippi State and the people that work for Mississippi State. I want to ensure that we get the proper messaging in the proper context of everything, and we share that with you. I think that's one of the reasons that we have been so successful as a website and as a show, is rather than just get out here and, you know, share a bunch of opinions, we can get facts for you, we can get some context. And so that's where things stand today. And again, what's true today may not be true tomorrow. I can't totally rule out the possibility of Zach Selman leaving to go to Oklahoma. And that'd be like me coming back to Mississippi. You know, I'm a Mississippi guy. Love being from Mississippi. Love living in Mississippi. Love all of you, whether you love me back or not. Right? I'm not a person that needs to be made to feel special. I can just come do a great job as best I can to the best of my abilities and hope people like it. If you haven't done so, go to DirtyNobleBook.com. Speaking of doing the best you can. The dude currently number 3 on the Mississippi Best Sours list. I mean, that guy's, the book came out in October. It's crazy to me that every week of 2025, the dude has been on the Mississippi Best Sours list. Are you kidding me? Come on now. That's enough to make you smile a little bit. You need to see what all the fuss is about. Get you a signed copy of the dude. If you don't want to order online, you can buy it at one of Mississippi's independent bookstores. Those are my friends. That's, we don't do Amazon, but out of respect for them. We don't. But you get signed copies of the dude, Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and the memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Be sure and check that out. And, you know, real quickly, I'll tell you guys, too, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but once I do, you'll be the first to know, or among the first to know. But I get a lot of messages just about weekly. Steve, when's the new, are you going to have a book out in time for Christmas? I don't see that in the cards. Hopefully, we can have one out in time for baseball. But I got to make some decisions soon. We got a couple projects we're kind of kicking around. I had some other ideas I was hoping to do for the holidays, and I just have not been able to spend time to kind of get things lined up for that. And we still may do that. We'll see. But come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. It's a busy day today We've had a really good summer, too. You know, last summer, I'll be honest with you, were days like we just kind of looked at each other, and it's like, you know, I don't know. But it's been a great summer. June was slammed, and I think yesterday is the first day we hadn't had double-digit floaters in 4 months. And then right back today, we're right back to, you know, 16, 17 floaters. And if you don't know much about floating, you should. It has been one of the best things I have ever done for my own anxiety. You can go to truerest.com, and you can see more information. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, True Rest Float Spa Starville, and call my wife, Dana, at 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to her and have any of your questions answered about floating. She is a registered nurse, so she is a person that understands the medical profession a lot better than most. She's not a person that displays expert on Facebook. You know, she knows these things. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. You'll be glad you did. We're about 3 weeks away from the beginning of football camp. Get ready. Be here before you know it. We can't wait. Take pictures and have those first practice reports. We look forward to you being a part of it over at jeanspage.com. Hey, guys, you guys have a great weekend. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. Forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.